Welcome to the Women's Hope Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am one of your regular hosts, Kim Wine, and I'm joined by my co-host from the other coast, Kim Cummings. How are you today, friend?
I am blessed beyond measure. I deserve.
Did you hear me just say friend?
That'll
tell people which one of us is from the South and which one of us isn't. Well, you're from the South. You just kind of got Californian'd. Californified.
Yes. I've masked it by living in other states.
Well, today we have some very exciting guests on to talk about a product that they have made and a curriculum that they have designed. We have Jeanette and Brandon Mills joining us. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hello.
Great, Kim. Good to be here.
Okay, let me tell our audience a little bit about what we're going to talk to you about and about what you've created, and then we will get into our discussion. So Jeanette and Brandon created Little Pilgrim's Theology, and this is how I describe it. It's an app-driven curriculum. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would.
It's an app-driven curriculum for children and families, and it was born out of a void and a desire. The void being a non-existent resource available that offers educators an avenue to teach the next level of theology to growing minds, and the desire to bring that resource to life for the glory of God. Their goal is to create, maintain, and continuously improve an edifying resource that challenges a wide range of learners in a way that is fun, memorable, and pleasing to God. And let me just say, you guys have done this. I mean, you have met your goal and are continuing to meet your goal as you bring out new levels and new modules. Is that what you're calling them?
Yes.
Okay. And we have had a chance to just kind of play around with it on the back end and in our family. And I have completely different ages. I have a 10-year-old and a 16-year-old, and both of them love it. The 16-year-old even said, "Hey, I didn't feel like I was being talked down to," which is awesome. And so you've really done a great job creating a family discipleship thing that can be used, that the parents can even learn from. It's not just for little kids, even though it's called Little Pilgrim's Theology. We're all pilgrims, right?
That's right.
Thank you.
Always learning.
Yes. So why don't you guys tell our audience a little bit about your passion for teaching kids theology? Why is it important?
I'll let Jeanette start on this one.
Okay. So when we were first convicted to homeschool our children, I read a lot of books on the topic. And one of the books that I really enjoyed was called For the Children's Sake. Mm-hmm. And it's just a book that sort of generally goes over Charlotte Mason's thoughts on education. And for the most part, I really agree with her. And one area that I really and sincerely agree with her and try to incorporate into our family is teaching and reading to children what she considers living books.
Yes.
So what living books are, they're just books that are like healthy food for the mind. So instead of filling children's minds with less than ideal literature that would be more equated to like junk food, mm-hmm. you would prefer to fill their minds with things that are worthwhile. And now what book is more worthwhile than the Bible?
Amen. I mean,
there are none. It is the living book. It's the only book that is sufficient to give the knowledge that leads to salvation. I mean, it's living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. So this concept that she presents of not dumbing down the truth, but of presenting it as it is, so that the children can reach and grow in the perfectly stated word that God has given us. It seems so obvious and just absolutely necessary for us to do. And so we sort of knew that this was a gift. You know, what more useful gift can you give than to teach your children and give them the knowledge of the word and of sound theology, even from their earliest days of education? And because in doing this, it then provides ample opportunity for God to work in their hearts. And then as well, it gives them the knowledge to then defend the faith in an apologetics fashion, and it sanctifies them in the truth. It gives them so many opportunities for growth. So theology is something that we knew we wanted to be part of our family's devotional time and our homeschool time and just general discipleship. But we struggled to find a curriculum that didn't water down the truth, mm-hmm. that just wasn't your typical allegorical Bible stories with vegetables or, you know, whatever. We wanted something that had like a bit more substance, more meat to it. But then at the same time, we did want it to be fun and engaging and just give them a good foundation that they could build upon. So at the same time that we were searching for this curriculum that I didn't ever really find, Brandon was being very closely discipled by our wonderful pastor, Michael Beck.
And yay!
Michael!
We love him. And
me
so,
too.
So Brandon had expressed his desire to pursue ministry, and it was affirmed by the congregation. And honestly, Brandon is a very gifted teacher. He's sort of like a strange, wonderful combination of like Paul Washer's passion with John MacArthur's exegesis.
That's so awesome. What a compliment your wife just gave you.
No pressure there, Brandon. Wow.
So that's awesome. I love him, y'all. But so that's basically where the passion began for us to begin developing Little Pilgrim's Theology. It was the result of Brandon's God-given desire to teach and study the Word, and then our desire as parents to find a curriculum that didn't water down the truth, but just explained it plainly.
Okay, so I have a question for Brandon real quick at this point. So you're more the technical, creative mind behind this as well, right?
Yes. Okay. So a little filler in that story. Along the way, I had walked away from a career that I was in to really focus on ministry and training in God. And along that way, my plan was to learn to code. So I learned a few different software languages. And so we didn't know how God would work this and form this, but this came about in that process. So that's a little filler of kind of where we're at today.
Yeah. And so what made you guys decide to make it app-driven instead of just workbooks and textbooks?
Yes. So we wanted to have a visual element, something exciting and fun, but doctrinally sound. Mm-hmm. And that is, we were getting frustrated trying to find something. And also, Jeanette may mention later, also, we have a son who has autism, and he has, we believe, like a videographic memory. Mm-hmm. So he memorizes pictures and videos, and then they replay them, and it's just a phenomenal memory. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to serve him well, and we're like, what Jeanette said, we don't want him memorizing a bunch of junk food. Let's come up with some way to get, you know, him to see pictures of words coming across the screen. And let's have him memorizing the Bible. Let's have him memorizing God's word. And that's kind of where we went with that.
That's awesome. And, you know, you're so right about all of the entertainment. Well, I'm going to call it entertainment driven. A lot of the curriculum out there that is very visual is mostly entertaining and not really very deep or very meaty, mm-hmm. for the kids. And we have this mindset, I think, in the church that we just need to put the kids in a different part of the church building and entertain them. Mm-hmm. And I think we do that in our homes a lot too. And I mean, I'm a mom. I'm guilty of that too. At times the entertainment is a really, really good thing for a mom to get a break.
Certainly. And even in this case, I mean, what a great way, if they're going to be entertained, yeah. if we can entertain them with scripture simultaneously, well, then that's a double win, right?
The sneak attack. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I think we've talked about this on a previous podcast with someone I love very much, my husband, and that we have made the Word of God to not, we take it seriously,
mm-hmm.
but it's not fun anymore. We don't believe it to be fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's this idea where, you know, we almost are ashamed to bring it in. You know, in a message or, you know, in an opportunity, like say with youth or something like that, you know, oh, let's party. Let's bring out the, you know, the Cokes and the, you know, the popcorn and the movie and all that. And, oh, then we'll almost apologetically bring in Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not discipleship. And so we need to be about the business of showing people, like you're saying, with your curriculum, that this is fun. This is good stuff. It is powerful. And I am so excited that you guys are doing this. And that leads me to my question. As parents of young children, do you find, and I know the answer to this, by the way, do you find it difficult for them to understand the deeper theological truths?
I'll answer this, Jeanette. So that is a great question, and that's a tricky question we have to sort through a little bit. I'll answer it as briefly as possible in two parts. So I would say, first off, it can be difficult, but we do see the clear command in Ephesians 6:4, where Paul says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You really don't have to do a lot of parsing on that. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Even if something's difficult for the one being discipled or for the discipler, there's not a pass there or an exemption to not do that. It's something we ought to be doing as followers of Christ because we want to honor him and honor his word. If you look into it, that even in that verse in Ephesians 6:4 right there, Paul's, in the Greek, it means to properly nourish the children. So of course, you know, as parents, we have four young ones. We're wanting to make sure they're well fed and cared for physically. But the Bible says that there's a greater care, this spiritual nourishment. You see language, what is it, 1 Peter 2, where he describes the word of God as the pure milk of the word. Mm-hmm. That ought to be fed to children. And then I guess the second side of that is we shouldn't forget the power of God's word, the promises, the claims that he attests to himself and his word in scripture. Romans 10:17, you guys know this one. Faith comes through hearing, mm-hmm. and hearing by the word of Christ. There's also Isaiah 55:11. The word will not return void. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire. So to answer the question fully, whenever we have a right understanding of God and a proper understanding of his word, it doesn't matter if it's difficult for a child to understand. His will be done at the end of the day. Now, there's another small aspect of that. You know, the question you ask is it difficult for them to understand the concepts? Well, one thing that makes learning more difficult, at least from my personal perspective, is sometimes things are dry. It's lots of just endless over hours and hours of reading. And while those things are good, maybe there's an opportunity for us to be more creative with younger age groups. And there's been lots of people that I believe over the course of time who have done this very successfully, but let's make it these lofty concepts. I mean, this is knowledge of God. Who can understand his ways? But let's make it creative and fun. Let's mm-hmm. show them some videos and have the scriptures coming across with music and things that they'll become impactful to them, and it makes learning easier. It facilitates mm-hmm. it, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Absolutely.
It's a really good point. And there's also this side of it, our brains as humans, scientifically. When, say, someone wants to teach a language to a child, they will pick it up so much more readily than, say, if I were going to decide to learn Italian right now in my older years. So the same idea of, you know, we know that God is sovereign over their salvation, but we have the responsibility to teach them these truths. And scripture is very clear that we do that from the get-go as children. We don't wait until they're of a certain age. We start right away. So if we have seen proven that children are these little sponges and they soak these things in, and like you're saying, give them good things to soak in, it's not as hard as we think. My husband taught Greek to an 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
He did it as a project because this kid was just really smart and he was homeschooled. So there was freedom with time. And he was like, I want to teach biblical Greek. And so he contacted this family. And they said, we'll pray about it. And like 30 seconds later, called him back and said, yes. And so what happened is all of these other kids at our church were like, well, we want to learn Greek. You know, so that's before great. We knew it, we had 20 kids or 20 people, because it wasn't all kids, because there were adults in there too. But the kids picked it up most readily.
Right.
That's great.
So why would we not take advantage of this opportunity when their minds are so much more capable of absorbing these truths?
So here's my follow-up question to the question Kim asked about if it's difficult for them to understand the deep theological concepts. Is Little Pilgrim's theology just for young children?
I would say no. We gear the content essentially for ages 7 and up, or reading level and up. Mm-hmm. The idea there is that as soon as a kid can read and be able to semi-autonomously be able to take in concepts and language and piece together meaning, we want to start training them then. Like Kim just said, we get feedback also regularly from parents who are training their kids. And along the way, for anybody who's ever, you know, taught anything before, you know that you understand concepts more further and more deeply mm-hmm. as you teach them. Right. So when families are discipling their children, everyone together is growing in knowledge of the Lord.
Right. So then is you kind of started this conversation, but why is family discipleship so important? Or maybe I should say, should we leave all of our theological training to the church?
No. May it never be.
Amen.
Now, our children are at church a few hours a week, but we're with our children day in and day out. We get to see their sin, and we have just such an enormous opportunity and responsibility to point them to Christ. So Brandon mentioned earlier that Ephesians 6:4, that it says to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And we'll have to stand before God and give an account for the teaching or the lack thereof that we have given to our children. So I love Charles Spurgeon's mom prayed, and she said something to the effect of, "Now, Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ." Mm. And Spurgeon said that just the thought of his mother bearing witness against him, that it pierced his conscience and it stirred his heart. And I pray that Little Pilgrim's theology is something that can give parents another means to present biblical truths to the glory of God, so that when they stand before the Lord, they can be confident in giving him glory for the teaching that they presented.
Amen. I love that quote from Spurgeon's mom. Wow.
That's an amazing
mom.
Yeah.
Just recently, I've been reading quite a few quotes from the old dead guys of just the pleads that they've made on behalf of their children. And a lot of them even written to children, but who are adults, and just talking about the pleading that takes place on their behalf. Mm. And people don't talk like that anymore. Just a much lower view of eternal hell and heaven for some reason. So it's been really encouraging to my heart. Mm-hmm. So you said that this isn't just for children and that it's not the church's responsibility. So how does family discipleship help parents in their own spiritual growth?
Well, that's another great question. Another amazing aspect about the Word of God is that it's sanctifying. In Christ's high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus prays to the Father and he says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." It was by God's design that he would use his words to sanctify his adopted sons and daughters, those who he's chosen from eternity past. And to, you know, with your question, family discipleship is centered around scripture, and it's genuine disciple when it's done that way. And when we honor God by honoring his word and discipling our children, God's going to bless that. He blesses obedience, and that results in spiritual growth. That is, by definition, progressive sanctification and one aspect of it there. So it's not just for kids, but for all who God gives an ear to hear his word and opens their eyes to see.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, this is a total side note, but we've been watching your videos, and I know whose voice is on them now. it's so surreal to hear you talking directly to me and hear, but I'm hearing a video in my head.
You can imagine how much our children love hearing Dad on the Little Pilgrim's Theology stuff.
That's awesome.
Okay, so you guys are a homeschooling family, but this curriculum isn't just for homeschooling families. How can it be used in other ways?
So it is often used as just the primary core theology curriculum for homeschooling, as well as in family discipleship and in a family devotion, family worship, kind of as a supplement to that. You know, we use it after we sing a hymn and read the word and go over catechism questions. We also do Little Pilgrim's Theology, so even our young kids, you know, get the opportunity to hear these truths. And even my three-year-old loves shouting out answers to the quiz, even though he's often wrong. But, I mean, it's
that's awesome.
And then also, it's a lot of Sunday school, a lot of churches are using it for their Sunday school curriculum. So that is also a wonderful avenue to use it. I mentioned earlier that we have a son with autism. And so in a special needs ministry, this would be a wonderful thing to incorporate as well. What else? Homeschool co-ops, this would be wonderful to incorporate there. And Christian schools could teach theology so much deeper if they were to use something like this. And we've also had churches inquire about gaining church-wide access to assist in family discipleship within their body. And so that's also an option. That's wonderful.
That's awesome.
Along the lines of the special needs there, whenever we were, you know, just in website design, we tried to make it very minimalistic with large buttons. So for like our son Andrew and a lot of special needs children, they struggle with fine motor abilities. So something as simple you and I might take for granted as, you know, swiping on your iPhone or iPad or device, it can be very difficult for them. So we tried to make these large, easy to navigate buttons. So even, you know, those who have cognitive or physical challenges would more easily be able to use it.
That's really smart. That I would never have considered that.
Another blessing of our sweet Andrew. He's taught us so much, and God's taught us so much through him. They're an amazing boy.
Yeah. That's awesome. And just to hear your heart to train in a unique circumstance, to take that seriously, I am going to really pray that you're just a blessing to other parents who may be frustrated and are trying to figure how to navigate. Autism is pretty relevant, right? I mean, we're seeing that more and more. And so this is something that I'm just going to really pray that this will be a blessing to those parents who may be struggling. With that being said, are there any final words for our listeners?
I would say, in terms of the context that we're talking about with family discipleship, just to reinforce again, God has given parents a vital role in the evangelism and teaching of children. It's something that we have to take seriously. We have to be intentional about. It's not optional. And we have to continue to be creative to find ways to do that, but not at the expense of compromising truth. That's the highest important. 2 Timothy 2:2, accurately handle the word of truth, tells us. And as far as just hope in this, sometimes it can feel so challenging, like there might not even be hope. Of course, that only comes from God and through God. We have to consider that, even in each of our own lives, we should give glory to God that while we were still sinners, he saved us for himself and then gave us this commission to go and make disciples. As God uses us as instruments in his divine plan of salvation, his overarching kingdom plan for his people and for himself. We should remember Proverbs 3:5 that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." That is all about God there, and trusting God. And that's what he tells us to do. So we should do that as we're discipling. And remember that these promises he gives us in Scripture are true. And we should hold fast to them and trust in him. With all of our hearts and minds and souls and all of our strength, we just need to know that he's faithful and enduring forever.
Amen. I have a fun section here at the end. We like to let our audience get to know our guests when we have new guests on. So just a rapid fire, quick question section. And it's my understanding you're both going to answer these, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Here we go. Pop or soda?
Coke.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Yes. I'll have a Coke.
Even if it's a Mountain Dew, right?
Diet Dr. Pepper.
It's a Coke.
Yes. You know, I live in South Carolina and they do the same thing here. And I grew up in West Virginia and it's pop all the way there.
Yeah. So
my children correct me all the time because I call it pop.
That's great.
All right. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
I'm going to say, I think children.
Winner.
That's fine. As long as it's not cats, we're good.
Yeah. No, we don't do cats.
I'm going to offend every cat lover that listens to us one of these days.
Yeah, I know. Like our listenership just plummeted.
If you love cats, that's fine. Just don't bring them around me. Keep
love
them to
you,
yourself.
But not your cat.
Yes. Drive or fly?
Drive.
Drive.
Okay. All right. You guys are kind of right in this smack in the middle of the country, so you can probably drive easily, a lot more easily than, like, say, I could to Kim's house.
It just takes us half of the drive to get out of Texas, but that's
right. That's true.
A lot of desert.
Yeah.
All right. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Mine would be chocolate.
Okay.
Hamburgers.
Oh, okay. You really are a Texan.
He is. He is.
That's awesome. What did you say, Kim? Not what?
Not Tex-Mex?
Oh, okay, so.
I miss Texas.
We miss you.
Okay, what's your favorite Bible study tool?
So I really like the Grace to You app, and because I'm an auditory learner, so which is why I love y'all's podcast so much. But I enjoy just listening to MacArthur's sermons on whatever I am struggling with understanding in the text. And I also like monergism.com. They have a lot of great sermons as well, and just good short descriptions of terminology. So I like both of those.
Those are great resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm partial to littlepilgrimstheology.com, but
since we shameless do Bible plug. Studies, awesome.
Yeah. But seriously, though, I like a little website called Bible Web App. It's kind of like a very ultra light version of a Logos or Accordance or something like that. But it allows you to very quickly and easily pull up a tab and, you know, choose big, easy to read fonts. And, you know, you can lay the Greek beside the, you know, whatever Bible version you want and navigate through that. It's just a very, I like minimalistic design, and it's minimalistic and it's easy, super user friendly to use. So I like that.
That's awesome.
I have not heard that one.
Yeah, that's why I love this question, because we always find out about new stuff when we ask that question. All right. Best advice you've ever gotten from an older person?
So mine is not really from an older person. It's from Autumn Beck. And so she's not old, but she's older than me. So she just has really spoken the truth to me so many times in regards to God's sovereignty. And when I have been maybe very discouraged about maybe the lot that I have been given at times, Autumn has always just really spoken the truth about God's sovereignty and about, you know, how the Lord has given me every single child, and he does not make mistakes, and that, you know, the commands to raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And it's just been very encouraging to sit under the discipleship of such a godly example that just always speaks the truth.
That is so sweet. And I know that when she listens to this, she's going to cry. And I would like for her to send me a picture of her ugly cry. When you hear this, Autumn, I want evidence that you were touched. Okay, what about you, Brandon?
So oddly enough, the best advice I've received comes from another member of the same family, from Michael.
Oh.
Early on, you know, as I was learning of the doctrines of grace and really doing more deeper study a couple of years ago, there's a lot of challenging eschatological issues to wrestle with and those types of things. Mm-hmm. And the best advice I got was so practical and so simple and so truthful. And Michael told me to study hermeneutics before studying eschatology. We get this, there are some lofty concepts in scripture and many difficult things to wrestle with, but it is so fundamental to understand why to use, to study the grammar, to study the syntax, to study the historical context, the literary meaning, and trying to get to authorial intent of what the inspired authors of scripture were trying to say. It is huge in being able to see the pure truth of God's word. And that was the best advice I've ever had. It has been super helpful, just inspired in me a love for the biblical languages and really a love for God even more out of that through such a short, concise advice.
So when are you coming to seminary?
Well, we'll see what God's plan is. I'm not sure yet, but
no pressure. Hopefully.
When the Lord provides a way, that is not off the table.
Awesome. Well, we have a church for you when you get here, then.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
And you can keep it in the family.
That's right.
There you go.
Okay, what is your favorite book of the Bible today?
Mine is always the Psalms. I'm a Psalms girl. I'm always in them.
That's great. That's a good one.
Maybe she got into bad poetry when we were dating that she wanted to go to the Psalms.
Did you write poetry? I have to know.
Maybe a little bit. I tried. Probably mostly just music quotes or something like that. But yeah, it was a fail.
Okay. That's funny. All right. What's your favorite book, Brian?
I have to say Romans still. I mean, it's like a systematic theology, and I'm geeky enough that it's so rich to me. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's hard to choose any one part of scripture, but I would say Romans.
Yeah. Romans is great. It is hard to choose any part of scripture, and that's why I add the word today to the end of that question to ease the pressure a little bit. All right. Our most important question of every day for every guest is, how do you take your coffee?
I take mine in a large cup with 2 tablespoons of that Natural Bliss sweet cream creamer. It's perfect.
That's great.
I just take it consistently.
As often as possible.
Your answer is yes. Yes.
That's awesome. So my favorite coffee, thanks to Kim, is Pete's. And she introduced me to it when I was out there. And it's hard to find on this side of the country. And so we don't have, like, you know, Pete's retail shops or anything like that. We have to hope that the grocery store carries it. And so my husband, there's this one grocery store that is in his work territory that he travels in. That has it, and so he'll grab it when he's there. Well, he brought home a big bag the other night, and I was so excited because he knows the way to his wife's heart.
Oh, sweet.
That's great.
But I made the coffee yesterday morning, and I make it a lot stronger than my husband does. And he took a drink of it and, like, sat the cup down and went, I don't think I can drink any more of that. And then about 3 minutes later, he picks it back up. He's like, but I have to.
So, just throw a little more cream in there. It'll be fine. Yeah.
Well, see, he doesn't do any. He drinks it black, and that's why it was a little too strong for him. See, I'm doctoring mine up with some cream and sugar. So, anyway. All right. Thank you so much, Jeanette and Brandon, for being on the show. We have enjoyed having you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, guys.
You can find out more about Little Pilgrims Theology at littlepilgrimstheology.com. They're also on Facebook and Instagram. What's your Instagram handle?
It's the @ Little Pilgrims Theology.
Okay, good. All right. If the gospel is unfamiliar to you and perhaps you've never surrendered your life to the Savior, Jesus Christ, you can find the greatest news you've ever heard at womenshopeproject.com/goodnews. Check it out and drop us a line to let us know you visited the Good News page at podcast@womenshopeproject.com. We'd love to share with you how the gospel has changed our lives and how it can change yours as well. We'd like to thank our longtime sponsor of the podcast, glorybooks.org. We are so grateful for the ministry of Dr. Greg Harris. Be sure to check out his ministry as well. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk with you again soon. Enjoy your coffee.